Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, What is Christian Worship? Today's message is based on John 4, verse 24. So let us open with prayer. Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. All praise to thee, holy God and Creator. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 4 with verse 24. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So we begin today a new and very brief series of just what is Christian worship, and we use the Gospel of John as our basis. Now there are many forms and types of worship, and it seems every church, denomination, religious faith has their own. I'm not interested in selecting one of these for your information, but rather I'm looking for a Christian-only goal of what worship is to be. We will not look at orders of worship, how many songs to sing, and where they are in the program, or how often we serve communion. I pray that my goal will become more certain as I progress through these next two Sundays. Now, the basis of this will be a focus on Archibald Brown, who died in 1922, was a Reformed Baptist pastor in Britain. He was baptized by Charles Spurgeon in 1861. He graduated from Spurgeon's Pastor College. and during the years when Spurgeon was preaching to thousands at Metropolitan Tabernacle in central London, Brown was also preaching to thousands a few miles away at East London Tabernacle. Now, after Spurgeon's death, Brown succeeded him as a pastor at Metropolitan Tabernacle from 1907 to 1910. Now, on September 6th in 1891, Brown preached a sermon on biblical worship at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, substituting for Spurgeon during the period of his final illness. This series comes from a book of Brown's sermons titled, This God, Our God. And this is one of the best sermons on the subject of worship, one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the church today. So first, let's look at the definition of the word worship. Webster has it as 1, to honor or show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. 2, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion, or to perform or take part in worship, or an act of worship. Now, in the Bible, the Hebrew word translated as worship is shahab, and literally denotes the act of bowing down. And then the Greek word is a compound word, which means towards and to kiss. Now, this is usually rendered as worship and means to encounter God and praise Him. Both terms seem to define worship as an activity or an action. However, an accurate depiction of biblical worship extends beyond mere activity. A better, more comprehensive definition of worship can be summarized in this statement by Esau Macaulay, an American biblical scholar and assistant professor of New Testament at Wheaton College. Worship is a reverential response of creation to the all-encompassing magnificence of God. Now, by definition, the word worship does not consider how we are to worship from an organizational view, but rather what we are to achieve when we worship. So now let's look at what Mr. Brown had to say in his sermon 133 years ago. And we shall dwell on the one word, worship. I can almost hear someone saying, only one word? Will you be able, preacher, to fill up the allotted time from so small a text? True, it's only one word, but then it is such a word that we need have no fear of exhausting its teaching if we preach until midnight. The only dread we have is lest the greatness of the word should altogether overwhelm us, for an ocean depth lies in this single word. Worship. 7 letters spell it, but 7 millenniums will never exhaust its meaning. Worship. Oh, it's a sanctuary word. As a tabernacle of old among the tents of Israel, so this word worship in Earth's vocabulary. It will be a delightful occupation if this morning we can walk around about it, but yet shall we not be satisfied? For as a tabernacle of old could never be comprehended by an outside view, there being but the badger skin covering it to be seen, so merely walking around the word worship will never discover to us all its exquisite loveliness. Now, to understand worship, you must worship. To enter into its meaning, you must enter into its reality. May the Spirit of Truth, promise of our Lord, the Spirit which guides us in all truth, guide us in the truth concerning the worship this morning. No word is more common or more generally heard in almost innumerably different ways of application. We often hear of places of worship. In some cases, a more startling misnomer could hardly be found. We read of books of worship, and yet perhaps it's often the book of family worship which stands most in the way of the true worship of the family. Some say, I'm going to worship this morning. This is an ordinary expression, and perhaps hundreds who are present have employed it. Yet going up to worship may be the very last motive that prompts the moving steps in this direction. Or, if it be the object in view, is perhaps the very last attained. We are told worship at such and such a place is very ornate. Ornate worship? One might well as talk of an angel in full evening dress. Oh, say others, in such a place the worship is severely simple. Well, severely simple worship, you might as well speak of an angel in mourning costume. And that was the simple attire worn in the house when not expecting visitors. Worship can be neither ornate nor simple. The term belongs to externals only and not to spirit. So worship, what is it? This is a question we ask, and may the Spirit of God lead us into the true answer. For God is spirit, and they that worship him. That is something far more than coming to the Metropolitan Tabernacle on a Sunday morning. They that worship him. That is something far more singing, more magnificently as you sang the hymn just now. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Oh, spirit of worship, discover unto us the meaning of worship. We shall this morning ask and try to answer two questions. First, what is worship? And when we have received the answer to that, we shall ask a second question, which is suggested by the answer. Who then are worshipers? The short passage referred to here from John 4:24 we read earlier. To help you place the verse, we must go to Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. The previous three verses are Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." So Jesus then describes worship as he saw it with verse 24, "For God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So continuing Mr. Brown's message, worship, what is it? This is the question which we ask, and may the Spirit of God lead us into the true answer. God is spirit, and they that worship him. That is something far more than coming to the tabernacle on a Sunday morning. They that worship him. That is something far more than singing as you sang before. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit of worship, discover unto us the meaning of worship. So first, what is worship? In order to get to the bottom of the matter, it will be best to see what is actual literal meaning of the words which in our Bible are translated worship. And we already covered these. In the Old Testament, the literal translation is simply to bow self down. Indeed, it is many times so translated. The word chiefly used in the New Testament means to kiss the hand. Now bring the Old Testament and the New Testament definitions together and you will see they amount to this, that worship is the prostration of myself before God. And yet it's not a prostration of terror or dread. It is the prostration of adoring love. Bear in mind that whilst to bow self down is the meaning of the word which is translated worship, to worship is something far more than simply the bow of the body. This comes out, and most strikingly, in one or two passages to which I will now refer. I might give you a dozen, but we will take only three. In the fourth chapter of Exodus, the last verse we read, "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshipped." The literal translation is they bowed their heads and then bowed themselves. This evidentially teaches that it's possible to bow the head without bowing self. They bowed their heads, then they bowed themselves in worship. Then if we go to the 12th chapter of the same book in the 27th verse, you have this most interesting distinction repeated. "It shall come to pass when your children say to you, What mean ye by this service? Then you will say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And then the people bowed the head and worshipped." Here again they bowed the head, and then they bowed themselves. But if these two references show us that it's possible to bow the head without bowing self, a third reference shows the converse. Or on the other side of the shield, that it's possible to bow yourself without bowing the body. In the 95th Psalm, we have these well-known words, "O come, let us worship," or more really, O come, let us bow self down. And then it adds, and bow down. Yes, I can bow the body without bowing the spirit. I can bow the spirit and worship without bowing the body. Evidently, therefore, the first answer to our question, what is worship, is that it's something infinitely more than mere posture. Personally, I think it's well to be reverential as possible in external demeanor. But worship consists not only in physical attitude. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel kneeled and prayed, and he worshiped that the Lord came and put his hand upon him as he kneeled, and he arose strengthened. But then Solomon, from 1 Kings 8, 22 and 23, stood before the altar of the Lord and prayed. And as he prayed, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the cloud of the living presence went rolling through the building until man was excluded and the priest could no longer serve there. But I think that one of the most delightful bits of worship on record is that in which David had, according to we read in Psalm 2 Samuel 7:18, and David sat before the Lord. So one kneeled, and the Lord bowed over him. The other stood. The Lord descended and wrapped him with glory. The third sat, but his worship was nonetheless the sweet. So what is worship? Worship is the bowing of the inner self. It is my innermost self doing that which might be seen done by the Eastern or other the Muslims in their external worship of the false god Allah. And look at them, all on their little mats, all bowed with their heads all the way to the sand. When I worship God, there can be no worship until all worship is where we bow self down. Now, in today's language, what does it mean to self-bow? Now, earlier, Mr. Brown, and I just can't bring myself to refer to him as Archie, said that we had the bowing of the head and the bowing of the body. Now, these may seem to be only slight differences, but I tell you, there's a great chasm between them. The bowing of the head, or some may call it a nod, is a rather simple and easy action. I've seen in this what many have called intellectual Christianity, in that we have heard, we have read, we acknowledge these things, but yet we do not fully believe. We will say there is a God, demand Jesus is historical, and we believe he really lived, but because he lived, how has he changed our life? The head nod is something we will do to even strangers when we pass. This is what President Obama did to the King of Saudi, which was a disgrace to God and nation. The head nod is at least something, as we were all taught to bow our heads when we pray, which is still a good idea. However, it does not carry the same weight as prostration or the bowing of the whole body. This is something you reserve for only the highest of our adoration. It is not done out of fear, but joy and love. In worship, we do not physically prostrate ourselves, mostly because I probably couldn't get back up if I did. But in your mind, heart, and spirit, are you prostrating yourself before God when you worship? We will be covering this more in the next lesson, but let's examine just a few examples of right worship from the notion of bowing. So when you bow, to whom are you bowing? When you are thinking of what are you thinking of when you are worship? Some problem at work or school that you will face the next day, or are you focused on self or on God and Jesus? When bowing, are you praising the one who you are bowing to? Bowing is an act of submission and not just a motion we go through. When you worship, are you truly submitting to God? Are you dedicating self to God? Is this an act of praise as well as a removal of pride? You cannot come to this depth of adoration when you are being entertained, but when you expose yourself to God through prayer and a pouring out of all that you have that in some sense opposes God. You should be in a sense of telling God that here I am, yours to do with as you please. Help me to be the person you desire me to be. So as we study the idea of what is Christian worship, let us also take the time for self-examination a rededication of ourselves to God and how we are to live our lives. Would the pagan see something in you when you casually cross paths that indicated just who you belong to? As we continue this study, remember that worship is about God and how we attempt to bring Him praise, glory, and honor, and not about following the proper processes or motions, and especially not about what we expect God to do for us. We may certainly pray for our problems and concerns, but if you worship God faithfully, God will take care of these as well. So bow down in spirit and soul to God. Surrender your will and lives to Him. Just as in the hymn, I surrender all. For that is worship. And the words of that hymn are, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. The refrain, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. So all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. So all to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. For I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. So in the name of God the Father and Jesus Christ our risen Lord, and all through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. So let us close with our benediction. Go forth in the name of the Lord, for this is God's charge. We should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Love one another just as He commanded us. Go in peace in the knowledge of God's power. Go in confidence in the knowledge of God's strength. Go in joy in the knowledge of God's love. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people, but we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, you can go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our messages on our websites. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for me. Inhale Him as Thy matchless King. King of
disasters come, storms come, whether it's wildfires, floods, and whatever's there, we're going to be there in the name of Jesus Christ.
The volunteers, they're willing to come out and serve Jesus and help their neighbors, whether it's across the street or across the nation.
It would take me literally months to get done what you guys do in just a matter of a few hours.
Samaritan's Purse not only provides the physical help, but the spiritual help as well, and I saw how beneficial it was.
For so many people who have just simply lost hope, they don't know how to get started. But when those volunteers roll up, it is a shot of hope. And people start to say, you know what, I can do this.
Samaritan's Purse has rebuilt our homes, our lives, our faith so much.
When things are at their worst is when people are at their best. And that's what I'm seeing here.
They're angels. They really are. I just love them all. Everybody.
For more information, go to SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org.